Hey there. Don't worry, you didn't tune into the wrong thing. This is the Now Boarding Podcast. However, as we were getting the episode ready this week, I just thought that I needed to share a few thoughts about the day that this episode releases, which will be the 17th anniversary of 9/11. We all have different ways that we remember that day, and I can remember being at work and some jets scrambling from Dulles Airport near where I worked and not knowing a whole lot of what was going on at the time. And we certainly all know what happened next. We watched it unfold on televisions and listened to the stories. And there are moments that I remember from then. The one moment that I can remember most vividly wasn't actually that day. It was probably about 6 weeks later. I was in New York for the first time, a place where I grew up, and I was there on work, and I took the subway down to look at the wreckage, to take it in myself. It didn't quite seem real, even though I knew it was, and I can remember walking down from the subway near Battery Park and just remembering the silence that, you know, for the first time that I can ever remember, the greatest city that I call home wasn't making any noise. And it certainly makes noise today, and the streets are repaved, and the buildings are reconstructed, and there are beautiful monuments to the folks that both lost their lives and gave their lives that day. But I think it's important to take a moment to remember. Remember the innocent folks that lost their lives, and also all the people that gave their lives on 9/11 to try to help save others. Too many to name all at one time, but each of them a very valuable member of the community and folks that won't soon be forgotten by many of us. As the years go by, it seems like it would fade away, but I think for folks who lived through it, it may never quite fade away, especially for those of us that are, aviation geeks or in the airline world, if you will. So I hope today on 9/11, if you're listening to the episode the day we drop it, I hope you'll take a moment to think about those folks that gave their lives. And if there's a special charity that you want to recognize, I'd certainly encourage you to do so. There's so many great stories from that day of sadness and drear of folks trying to help. And I think that's the message that I would carry away with my children 17 years later. They weren't alive when it happened. And I think the message that I would leave with them is that even on the worst of days, it was uplifting to see the people that wanted to help. Thanks for taking that brief sideways with me. I really appreciate it. We'll get you back to the show.
Now Boarding, the official boarding area podcast, would like to welcome aboard all listeners. This nonstop service includes interviews, reviews, and insights from our talented crew of bloggers. Episode number 11 is Now Boarding.
Joining Captain Ed Pizza on today's episode is Charlie Barkowski from Running with Miles. Make sure those tray tables are stowed, your seats are in the upright position. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the episode.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Now Boarding Podcast. I'm your host, Ed Pizza. If you're enjoying the podcast, I hope you'll do two quick things for me. First off, I hope that you'll rate the podcast, leave us a comment on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or wherever you're listening, and also hit the subscribe button. Those two things help us get the show out to more people, and we definitely want to grow the audience as much as possible. Up this week, I've got Charlie Barkowski, who writes the Running with Miles blog. Hey, Charlie, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Ed, good to be here with you.
Yeah, speaking of being here, I am super thrilled to be home, although we're sort of in the path of the hurricane. So we're getting the remnants of the tropical storm right now in Virginia, and then we may get a bunch more rain coming up later this week, so we may be floating away. Where are you hanging out today?
I'm currently home as well, which right now home is in Greece, and so it's pretty hot, but we're hitting the tail end of summer, so that's good.
Yeah, you are hitting the tail end of summer. Your weather's probably better than mine right now. It's like mid-50s, sure. And I've got a pool in the backyard of swamp. So.
Oh, my. That does sound good a little bit on some of these days. I got to say that.
I would bet on some of them, I'm sure. Although I personally, we were in Greece in the high point of summer, and I didn't find it too horrible from a humidity standpoint. I'm not a big humidity fan.
No, me either. I can take a lot of heat, but once that humidity starts ticking up there, it's not very pleasant for me.
Yeah, I agree. Well, hey, thanks for joining us on Now Boarding. I guess let's get started with how it is that you got your love of travel.
Well, funnily enough, I actually had never stepped on an airplane until I was 18. We did everything by the road, and most of that was trips to my grandparents' house and the fall trips to Vermont from our home in New York. But I had always found airplanes to be fascinating and couldn't wait for the time that I actually went on a plane. And my first trip actually ended up being going to Israel for a tour, which was phenomenal. And that kind of just got me. I could not wait to go on another trip after that. And I didn't know how much I would be able to travel, but it's turned out that I've certainly made up for it in the last 18 years for not having flown at all in the first 18.
So that first trip to Israel, I assume you were in coach?
I was in coach, yes. And being my first trip anyplace, I'm very happy. I didn't know it was to the left when I boarded, but I don't think it really would have mattered. Just going any place is fantastic. And it was a great trip. We had a great travel agent worked in an overnight in Frankfurt on the way back. So had a little taste of some German food and great trip in Israel. And it was a fantastic trip. So I've done that a number of times since, and only a couple times in business.
Yeah, we traveled quite a bit when I was a kid, all in coach. So I didn't really know what was down the other end of the plane either for quite some time. When was the first time that you got a taste of business class heading over an ocean?
It actually was on the way home from Israel on one trip, and my dad was with me, and I was a Delta Diamond Medallion at the time, and they had coaches oversold, so they bumped me up to business. But being that I was with my dad, I actually moved him up into upstairs of the 747 instead. So that was my first upgrade to business, but not actually the first time I was able to fly business myself. So it wasn't until I think about the next year. I want to say it was, I might have skipped business altogether. I think it was first class on Cathay Pacific to Hong Kong from JFK.
Oh, wow. Yes. Wow. Yeah, I've been on that flight, although only with two cabin crafts. I don't think I've ever flown JFK Hong Kong on a three class Cathay flight.
I remember it was a winter storm, so my flight I knew was going to be canceled from Rochester, so I ended up driving all night to get down there, and it was I really didn't care how tired I was. I think it was a 9 a.m. departure or something. I just knew that I was going to be on a bed and it was going to feel phenomenal, and it ended up we had a long weight on the ground. So again, I didn't care. 17 hours in Cathay Pacific felt really good.
Oh man. But that drive from Rochester, it's been a long time. I've actually did it once very long time ago.
I've done it more times than I've would have liked to, simply because the weather cancels those little planes and yeah. You know, your international flight's still going out. So the most recent time, I think it took me, I want to say a 6 hour trip took me about 11 hours because of the snowstorms. Oh.
Yuck.
Yeah, not nice.
So you and I have known each other for a few years on the Boarding Area platform, but I don't actually know how long you've been blogging about travel and running.
This December 27th, I think it'll be 7 years that I've been blogging, and I think it's been about four with Boarding Area. So, I can't believe it's been 7 years. Seems like a long time.
Yeah, I'm hitting my 10-year. Actually, I think I already hit it. I should probably look that up. But you know, for folks who don't follow Charlie's blog, as you can imagine, with a title like Running with Miles, he's definitely in a lot better shape than I am. He writes frequently about travel tech and also frequently about running. And there's a pretty good intersection there when you consider the tech and then the traveling that he's doing to get to various races. And in fact, you recently had a post, which I thought was hilarious, about earning miles for finishing a marathon.
Yeah, that's not that's something I wish more races would do. But obviously, there's not a whole bunch of crossover appeal necessarily. So I'm glad that at least one race targets that for the people that are interested.
Yeah, my wife is a marathoner. She hasn't done one in quite some time. She had a little problem with her hips after childbirth. She still runs quite a bit, and I've always said I was never going to get anywhere near it. Although I did somehow manage to walk 19 miles on my crazy Disney experience a couple of weeks ago, which was not my smartest decision. Which is why I'm doing a second
time. That as well. That's that's the fun of making those wild decisions. It pushes you to do it again and again and again.
I agree. How many marathons have you run?
I kind of lose track sometimes. It's someplace between 52 and 56 marathons or ultra marathons, which are distances, any race distance over 26.2 miles. So I've done a few 50 milers, a couple 100-kilometer runs, which is 62 miles for those in the U.S., and a bunch of 50Ks as well.
Good Lord. I couldn't imagine 26 miles, let alone doing 50 miles. That's
it's an interesting and different kind of event, since it's more laid back. A lot of them are in the woods and kind of treated like a big old picnic that you just spend all day running and eating. I mean, you get fantastic food all along the route, and you know, when else do you drink lasagna out of a cup?
My grandmother just rolled over in her grave. I just want you to know that.
Yeah, you got to put a little extra sauce in it to make it go down right, but it works.
I don't know that I own a pair of sneakers that has 50 miles on it, period, let alone run 50 miles at one time.
It's definitely a nice challenge, and you feel a lot of things after the end of that, but one of them is that completing something like that, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, no, I mean, definitely a huge accomplishment. And, you know, when my wife finished her first marathon, I was just so in awe of her with all the training and everything that went into it. You know, given that you've run that many marathons and obviously, you know, you have a job, how do you find you balance the time between running, work life, family, and the blog?
Sometimes it does come down to whether, am I going to work on a blog post or am I going to get a run in right now? And unfortunately, especially during the summer, sometimes the runs have to take place when everything else is kind of dead, which means middle of the afternoons, which I'm not a big fan of that. I can say safely, I've pretty much run it every single hour of the day in training. Not a one day, but just fitting them in wherever I can, whether it's three in the morning or three in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Trying to get them in. So.
Yikes. Yeah. I can't imagine running in the summer heat in Greece is very fun.
No, I did a couple years ago. I did my biggest running event, and I had to do my peak training months were in August, and I was training for a couple of my runs were going to be desert runs. So I actually suited up with a jacket and went out in 105 degree weather and ran, did 500 mile weeks. That was it was a good test in a variety of ways. I got a lot of great looks too. You know, nobody's really out that much that time of the day. And then to see somebody wearing a coat and a hat.
Oh, I can only imagine. Don't do that at an airport. TSA, I'll never let you go.
Oh no, for sure.
So while I think about Charlie suited up in a jacket running in 105 degree heat, we're going to step aside for a minute for a quick commercial break. We'll be right back on the Now Boarding Podcast. The Now Boarding Podcast is brought to you in part by Norwegian Air. Norwegian is one of the fastest growing airlines in the world. The low-cost carrier is based in Europe and continues to connect cities that have never been connected before. Their most recent flights include nonstop service from Florida to Rome, Madrid, and Stockholm. They've also launched new service from Montreal to the Caribbean and from the Toronto area to Dublin. With a fleet of brand new 787 and 737 MAX airplanes, they're making the world affordable for thousands of travelers.
Thank you.
And we're back on the Now Boarding Podcast with Charlie Barkowski of Running with Miles. Charlie, what was it that made you want to start a blog, given everything else you had going on in life?
Well, I actually used to book a lot of travel for friends and family and doing a lot of group stuff just for trying to help people save money. And I kind of stumbled upon the whole Miles thing. It was probably about, I would say maybe 15, 16 years ago. And then once I found out how great that was, it seemed like everybody else kept asking the same questions of how do you do this? How do you do this? So I said, well, I'll just start doing an email for everybody. But at that point, I started trying to arrange some running tours for marathons overseas. And everybody kept saying to me, you know, the cost of getting there is the problem, not when I'm there. So I kind of started putting all this together. And what kind of finally pushed me over the edge was when I went to Fargo, North Dakota for the Fargo Marathon. And someone said, why'd you come from Rochester? How much did that ticket cost? I said, it's like $500. They said, what? I said, well, I paid like $10. What? They just couldn't believe it. Oh, wow. If I could do that, I would go all over the place. So I thought, okay, that's it. I'm going to start and try to help more runners run more. And over time, it's evolved a little bit to incorporate some of my other interests as well. And so that's kind of how we got to where we are today.
Yeah, my story is somewhat similar. I kept answering the same questions for people back when email was like the common medium. And then I learned what a blog was. It's like, wow, I could answer one question once and then I could just point people to the link over and over again.
Yeah. The funny part was I had told my wife at the time, I said, you know, I think this will be great. Every Sunday night, I'll just sit down for an hour and knock out 7 posts for the week. It'll just take me an hour a week.
Oh, boy.
And that did not last all that long. And I was like, oh, wow. You know, you get through those 7 things, you know how to, you know, inside and out. And all of a sudden you're like, wow, I got to find some other stuff.
Yeah, I don't think people realize how much time goes into the blog. And I get that folks have strong opinions about stuff. And
sure.
But it does amaze me sometimes when the comments that come back when you consider the amount of time that you put in to create content that you hope is helpful to people.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I strive for in my blog is I'm really not a fan of clickbait. And so I might leave some things vague sometimes just because I think people see certain airline or certain hotel and they say, oh, I'm not interested. And I want them to come in to see why they should be interested. But, you know, when people click on something that's very obvious what it's about and they come to, you know, what in the world is this about doing here? It's like, come on, you read the title, you clicked. what, you know, you're here. So why'd you come here if you weren't interested in the title?
Yeah, I agree. So if folks are just tuning in for the first time and discovering Running with Miles, what sort of topics would you say are your wheelhouse? You know, what are the things that you think are the best things that you can help folks with?
I love highlighting unique race destinations. I'm starting to get back into doing more of those, whether it be marathons, half marathons. There's a lot of 5Ks that take place on airport runways, which for aviation geeks is a kind of a cool thing. I love the fine print, whether it be credit card offers or loyalty programs, and also deals. I've never been a fan of paying full price for anything that includes airline tickets. So I like to try to find things that I'm interested in and hope that helps others that are interested in those things as well, which normally involves travel tech, fitness gear, and as well as other destinations and travels such.
Yeah, and I'd emphasize, I think, you know, normally when I'm talking about travel tech and travel gear, I can generally find, you know, the most important topics. Charlie's covering the same stuff that I am. So from a travel tech standpoint, I generally will look at his blog to see if he's reviewed something so I can get an opinion whether it aligns with mine or not. But he's definitely got a good voice on travel tech and then also, too, on how to find the best price on a lot of that stuff, which I don't spend a ton of time on. When Amazon has super cool sales, I'll definitely jump in, but I frequently see stuff on your site that's for other sources for things like, you know, Apple Watches or Garmin devices at really good prices.
Right, I appreciate that, and yeah, I love seeing the stuff you cover as well. It's another good corner to observe and to kind of get a different perspective on. And you know, the funny thing is, sometimes with some of the deals I search for, I think, man, if it wasn't for blogs, I would have actually wasted money by searching this long to find this particular savings. But I know there's a lot of people that do like to save money on things. So I figure, well, if I can turn it into a blog post, it'll be worth the time. So.
Yeah, and it is a thing. I remember, Brian Kelly, the points guy, said to me a number of years ago, back when I first started blogging on Boarding Area, he said, hey, there's going to come a time when you're going to think that, because somebody else wrote about something that you shouldn't. And he's like, you should just write what you think you should write about, what's important to you, and not worry about how many people covered it or what they're going to say. And it was a very telling comment of, I'm sure there's stuff on there that on your blog, just like on mine, where some folks will look at it and go, well, I'm not interested in this. And it's like, well, that's not really the point. It's not to say that you're writing for you, but in a lot of ways you're writing about things that are important to you. And so if folks see it there, they should know that these are things you're passionate about and you're going to give a well-informed opinion on them.
Right. And sometimes it's really surprising me. I'll put hours into researching a particular redemption program or trying to find a sweet spot or something. And you'll have maybe 10% of the traffic you think you're going to get from that. But then you have some deal thing that takes you 5 minutes to write and it ends up becoming your biggest post of the year. And you're like, that doesn't even seem fair.
Yeah, no, there's no question that the amount of time we put in does not correlate at all to the number of clicks that we get.
No. So that, you never know what's going to work with it. So you just keep going, trying to find stuff that might interest people like it interests you.
Yeah, I agree. And that's why I think you got to love writing a blog, because there are going to be days, like you said, where you write something that just doesn't resonate with your audience. And if you hated writing it, then what was the point?
Right.
So let's talk a little bit about how you travel. Is most of your travel for work or for pleasure?
I'd say it's a healthy mix. It can sometimes be mostly pleasure for most of the year, and then all of a sudden just an onslaught of work travel for a solid month or two. So it does vary, but most of the time it evens out.
And are you traveling enough now that you have elite status with any airlines or hotel chains?
My airline of choice right now, since I'm in Greece, is Aegean, and for a number of reasons they're fantastic. Like with their award redemption rates between the US and Europe, it's only 45,000 miles for business class, and you can merge family accounts together, and it's just so easy to get those miles. But the sweetest part of it is how easy it is to renew. It takes flying 4 flights and earning 12,000 miles in a year to re-up for gold status, which gives you lounge access and the Star Alliance lounges worldwide. And I mean, for 12,000 miles of flying, it's pretty incredible. So I'm on my soft landing with American Airlines, and I'm at, I think it's gold with them right now. And then I've got a bunch of hotel statuses. The one I keep going to earn is with Hyatt. So they're my favorite, them and Aegean. Those are my favorite programs at this time. And I love National for car rentals.
Mm-hmm. And so when you are traveling for pleasure, do you find yourself venturing short hop stuff around Europe? Are you heading to other continents? Where's your travel normally taking you?
A lot of Europe and Middle East as well. Most of my, I end up doing a number of trips back and forth to the US each year. So it gives me a good opportunity to try out different airlines. The funny thing is I keep wanting so badly to try like Norwegian, and there's no way I can, because I'm not in a city they serve, it's no way I can make it work to where it's as cheap as advertised. So I stick with the other mainline airlines instead. So I mix it up. I like to come back from the US in business and go to the US in coach. It kind of just works better with my body. And then if I'm trying to sprinkle more Asia in, do the Middle East, and like to get more into Africa in the next year also. So I move it around a bit.
Yeah, I've had some really good experiences with Norwegian. I know some folks have had issues, and I'm not going to say that they're perfect, but they've really served me well the handful of times that I've flown them, either for the fare or, their premium product is, very reasonably priced. So I definitely would recommend trying to hit them at some point if you have a chance. They can really fill a niche. I get that you're not located in one of the places that they fly, even though oddly enough, I landed in Greece flying to Africa on Norwegian last year.
Okay. Oh yeah. I really want to try. And especially when you see this low as they get, but it's just, when you figure in the cost of getting there, even a regular size carry on, and then you look at your mileage account, and you're like, I'm just gonna go with the miles.
Yeah. So, you and I were talking before we hopped on the air about your around the world project. I don't want to steal your thunder, but can we talk about that for a little bit?
Sure. Yeah. As a way to try to mix and kind of revisit the whole marriage of running and travel together a couple of years ago, I did a six continent, six marathon run trip, and it took me 4 days and 21 hours to do all that. Kind of like a personal goal of trying to see if I could do it all in first or business class and with the least amount of money out of pocket, and to show runners, hey, you know, I just hit six continents doing 26 miles on each continent in 4 days, and felt pretty good about it too, being that I'm in Lifelet all the way. So that was a real blast. I did it years before in economy, five continents. And that was really rough, but, yeah, it was, I'm still trying to get those posts finished up, and I have some on the blog now, and it was, great. I flew from Thessaloniki to, Cairo, Egypt. Ran in Greece, then Egypt, then Abu Dhabi, and then got to fly Etihad's first apartment from Abu Dhabi to Sydney, and then flew actually one of the rarest routes in the world from Australia to Chile.
Oh, wow.
I think there's only two or three flights on that route, and then that cover that part of the world, and then ran in Santiago, and then flew up to D.C. and finished in D.C., actually, it was on September 11th, a couple years ago. So, did as a fundraiser as well for military vet group, and so it was a real blast, you know, just to kind of try to show travelers that yeah, it's possible to land and get out and get some runs in, and show runners, look what you can do with miles. So it cost me about $250, and I want to say 177,000 miles.
I'm never, ever going to think about being tired when I get off of a long flight again. I'm going to think about the fact that you actually hopped off these flights and ran a marathon and then got on another one. That's insane.
The worst was we had an operational problem in leaving Australia, and it was like an hour or two delay. And I'm like, I don't have an hour or two. I got to Santiago, and I think I literally had 6.5 hours on the ground. And the manager of the Hyatt there had just gone all out to make things be all ready for me and get me some people to go out running with me. And we ended up, that was my fastest marathon leg at, I think it's 4 hours and 25 minutes, because I just had to do it.
You literally ran back to the airport.
Raced back to the airport, got on the next flight, and up to DC after that. So after that, I was excited to be done, but it was a blast. I'd love to do it again someday, but we'll see. With the award programs doing what they're doing, and then my legs getting older, I don't know.
Oh, I love it. All right, well, we're going to step aside for our last break. When we're back, we'll run Charlie through some lightning questions before we get out of here for the week. We'll be right back on the Now Boarding Podcast.
The Now Boarding Podcast is brought to you in part by No Jet Lag. Don't let jet lag get you down. There are flight crews, sports teams, and business executives all around the world that sing the praises of No Jet Lag. No Jet Lag is the leader in jet lag management for the last 25 years. Don't let jet lag spoil your next trip. Visit nojetlag.com to get yours today.
Welcome back for our final segment on this week's episode of the Now Boarding Podcast with Charlie Barkowski of Running with Miles. I think the thing I loved about the story that you told about running marathons on six different continents is, you know, it's one of those things where I hear stories in each of these episodes that I just, you know, I didn't know about folks. Well, so for example, we had Tiffany Funk on a couple weeks ago, and I learned that when she was 8 years old, she was a United 1K member because she was flying back and forth as an unaccompanied minor to Hawaii in between where her parents were living. It's like, wow, 1K at eight Amazing. Years old. So the marathon story is definitely my highlight for the episode. Let's spin through some lightning questions before we run out of time today. What would you say is one of the coolest destinations you've ever visited?
I'm going to actually go one international, one domestic. I'd have to say Iceland. I know Iceland's getting a lot of attention over the last couple of years. I went a number of years ago for a marathon, and just everything about it was just fantastic, so beautiful, and I can't wait to plan another trip. And domestic, I have to say Death Valley. Just people think of deserts as kind of stark, but it's just at night and even with the colors, it's just beautiful. Fantastic place to visit also.
Yeah, I never made it to Death Valley, and I'll we'll name it too. Haven't been to Iceland yet, although my daughter keeps reminding me we haven't been there.
It's a beautiful place. The people are very friendly, and as with all airlines now, it's actually probably cost you more to drive a car around there than it does to fly there.
I agree. I absolutely agree. Although I'm not sure with some of the low cost carriers, like you talked about with WOW and that, I'm not sure I'd want all the extra fees to get over there on that cheap ticket.
Right.
So what's, when you open up your wallet, what's your go-to credit card? What's your favorite right now?
Chase Sapphire Reserve. It's combined with the 1.5 cents per point redemption when you book through the Chase portal. That for me has been a real winner when taxes or fees or surcharges on award tickets are higher. It can make sense to use the points for that. And I love the 3 times for travel, 3 times for dining. So that's my current winner.
Do you think you redeem points more through the Chase portal right now, or do you think you're transferring points to programs like United or others more?
I'm probably using it more to book the travel directly, just because sometimes you find those great fares, and you even like for going back and forth from the U.S. to Europe, flying economy. Turkish Airlines has fantastic rates a lot of times, so $350 to $500 round trip. And if you try to book it with United, it's going to be 60,000 miles plus the taxes and fees, so maybe like $40. So this way I can use maybe 20,000 points instead of transferring those 20,000 to United, only getting a third of a reward ticket.
Yeah, I've started to hear more.
Plus I earn miles.
Right, right. No, and I would say, where I never used to hear that, I hear folks using the Chase portal more now today than I did, say, a couple of years ago. And I think part of it is the reserve and the favorable conversion rate. But I also think, too, just with where awards have gone, I was looking at a flight to Orlando on an off-peak Thursday coming up for a trip, and it was 26,000 miles one way in coach.
Oh,
so some of the opportunities that we used to find to leverage our miles are non-existent anymore.
Yeah, and I think it was a year or two ago I booked Qatar Airways from Athens to New York for, I want to say it was $850 for business class.
Wow.
Which with the Chase points, that was like 57,000 points, which for American Airlines just from Doha is 70,000, yeah. Not counting the 4.5 hour leg. So, there's definitely some real winners for using the points like that directly.
Yeah, I agree. So if your favorite airline, we talked a bit about Aegean earlier. Is that your favorite right now? Or is there somebody else that you love more?
For Europe, it's Aegean. For flying long haul, Turkish is really great. Their staff has been really good. Their planes are comfortable. And I also like actually Emirates from Greece to New York. They're really a great, comfortable airline in coach or business.
Yeah, I really like Turkish. Only flown them a handful of times, but definitely enjoyed the flights that I've had, and would absolutely hop on another Turkish plane again.
Plus, the fact that you get as a Star Gold member, you get the fantastic lounge in Turkish. I mean, it's getting a little crowded these days, but our family spent like 12 hours in there as one time because the kids were too awake to go to a hotel. And there's plenty to do there. It's a great place to spread out and a great way to really kind of revitalize yourself mid trip.
Yeah, I remember seeing the remote control racetrack down the stairs, the piano, yes. I think they had a virtual golf range. Just some of the stuff in there is crazy.
Love PlayStations, it. Kids room, food everywhere. It's a movie theater. It's great.
Yeah. So favorite hotel chain? I think you said earlier Hyatt's your go-to?
Hyatt, yes. They've been both as a whole chain and also our favorite hotel we frequent maybe 15 times a year is Hyatt. And just everything about it's wonderful. My family loves it, and they've treated us very well.
All right, so don't tease me. What's the favorite Hyatt? What's the one you visited 15 times a year?
Hyatt Regency Thessaloniki in Greece. It's a couple of years ago, they downgraded it from a Category 3 to a Category 2, and rates are about $170, $190 bucks a night. So with points, it's either 8,000 or 4,000 points, and $55 is cash and points. And they take very good care of globalist members. They've got a great breakfast spread. The pools are fantastic. And we've even gotten upgraded to presidential suite a couple times. And my kids love that place.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, I have not been yet, but it's certainly on my list when we get back to Greece.
Definitely a nice spot to visit.
And then to wrap up, one place that's still on your bucket list, a place that you haven't been yet, and given all the trips that we've covered in the past 30 minutes, I'll be curious to hear what's still on the list.
It's the one that is pretty much unattainable with points, and that's Antarctica. There's a guy that puts on some really great races on the continent itself. So one of these years, I'll get down there to do either the marathon or the 100-kilometer run on the mainland of Antarctica. That's at the top.
Wow, that's got to be a tough. That's gonna be a tough race to run given the conditions.
Yeah, it can be about 15 degrees. It's not that cold. They do it in their, you know, quote unquote summer.
Right.
And they do a very good job with the flights, the stay on the continent, and all what they do with that. It's still very pricey, but at $15,000, it's. I mean, you're going to pay that or more for a cruise ship to get there, and this is a plane taking me there. So someday maybe get a bunch of clicks on the blog, I'll be there.
Yeah, I guess 15 is not too horrible. I always think of my wife talking about how she likes it cool when she runs, obviously. But I guess if you get too cold and you have to start worrying about frostbite, you don't want the layers if you're going to run that far.
No, the man that runs it, he's actually. I believe he's done it, or he's about to trek to the South Pole from the coast. And he's been down there like 40 or 50 times. So if anybody knows how to put on something in Antarctica, it's him.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Well, Charlie, I've really enjoyed our 30 minutes. Even though we've been friends for a while, I've definitely learned some new things. It's one thing I always love about these episodes is picking up new things. I will go to sleep with the haunting that I will never fly that many continents and run that many miles as you have, but I'm certainly envious of you having done it. When you're not hanging out with me on the podcast, tell folks where they can find you.
On the Boarding Area homepage, of course, runningwithmiles.com. For the blog directly, and on Twitter, twitter.com/runwithmiles. Facebook is Running with Miles, and trying to get more involved with Instagram at Running with Miles as well. So if you find me in Twitter, that's easier access for sure.
Awesome. Hey, thanks a bunch for being on with us.
Thanks so much, Ed. Appreciate it.
Folks, if you enjoyed the podcast, I hope you'll check out Charlie's blog at runningwithmiles.com. And I hope you'll subscribe to the Now Boarding podcast and leave us a rating. Those two things help us reach more folks for the show, and we definitely love that. Until we're back with you again next week, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Now Boarding podcast.